Rule number 10. It's rude to tell someone they look like a French poodle, unless they are, in fact, a French poodle. I don't think I'd ever been in as bad a mood as I was on the day of my first field trip ever.
Absolutely not,
Mom said when I asked if I could just stay home. But, Mom, you don't understand, I pleaded with her. Musy
is fine, Mom said. We know exactly where he is. He's completely safe and nothing is going to happen to him.
Mom was so wrong. But what if...
Allie, Mom said, you've been wanting to go on a field trip your entire life. Now is your big chance. And you're trying to get out of it? What's wrong with you?
What was wrong with me was that my cat was on a walkabout and I was really worried. I was going to be so far away, all the way at stupid, boring Honeypot Prairie, with no cell phone and no way to reach me if anything happened. But my mom made me turn around and march back to my room and get dressed. I was going to Honeypot Prairie, whether I liked it or not. As it happened, I did not like it. Ha! Kevin said when he saw me in my nightgown and apron. You look funny. Oh, I said, staring pointedly at his hard hat. And you look real normal. Workmen wear these, he informed me. Yeah? I said, showing him my fist. Well, you'll be wearing this if you don't shut up.
Allie, Mom said, shocked. You know we do not condone violence in this family.
It was fine for her. She hadn't been up all night, worrying about her cat, who was shivering in the cold and dark. And okay, maybe it wasn't cold inside the wall. It was actually pretty warm, which was why Musy liked it and wouldn't come out. So Musy hadn't actually been shivering at all. But whatever. There were probably mice in there, too, which was another reason Musy liked it. Great. My sweet, adorable cat was in the wall, catching and eating dangerous, disease-carrying mice. Which, by the way, was nothing like how things were in Narnia. At least in the books. Mom and Dad promised to warn the roofing guys that Musy was inside the wall and not to let them do anything that might end up with him being sealed up inside the wall forever. But they wouldn't take any of my suggestions as to how to get him out of the wall, such as hiring a professional demolition squad to blast him out. If done delicately, I was sure this would work. Unlike me, Erica, Caroline, and Sophie were all super excited about our field trip, and especially about our prairie outfits. Caroline loved the nightgown I'd brought her. She put it on right over her t-shirt and leggings the way I was wearing mine. And I guess it was kind of fun to be wearing nightgowns outside, even though we were fully dressed underneath them. Sophie looked especially silly in hers, since her nightgown had Hello Kitty on it, a pattern that's unlikely a girl in the 1850s would actually have worn, since they didn't have Hello Kitty in those days. And Erica's mom had insisted on putting Erica's hair in a bun and sticking a big bow on the top so she looked a little like a French poodle. Though I didn't tell her so, of course. It's rude to tell someone they look like a French poodle, unless they are, in fact, a French poodle. You look great, Allie, my friends kept saying. My mom had done my own hair in braids. I didn't feel like I looked great, though. I just didn't feel excited about this field trip, like my friends did. I think I was sort of hollow inside, like the wall Musy was hiding in. Cheer up, Allie, Caroline said as we walked to school. I'm sure Musy will be fine. And just think about what we've got to look forward to when we get to school.
What we had to look forward to? Endless boredom? And Mary Kay Shiner?
A bus, Erica cried, reminding me, knowing my weakness for buses.
School buses, Sophie said, are considered the safest vehicles on the road.
This wasn't cheering me up at all. But there are no seatbelts, I reminded her. I said this because I'd been secretly hoping our bus would hit a bump so big Cheyenne would go flying into the air, her hoop skirt sailing up over her head, and all the boys would see her underwear. Except that Cheyenne would probably like this. Although maybe she'd conk heads with Brittany Houser, knocking them both unconscious. Then we'd have to turn the bus around and come back. And we wouldn't have to sit through any boring bread baking or kickball demonstrations.
But school bus seats are compartmentalized, high-backed, well-padded, and anchored for crash protection, Sophie said, quickly warming to the topic. And designed with the safety of the occupant in mind, no matter what size. Seatbelts could increase the risk of serious neck and abdominal injuries in the case of a crash, and could hamper the bus driver's efforts in helping passengers from making a quick exit from the vehicle. We all stared at Sophie. She really does read too much about disasters. Not that I cared. I didn't care about anything. All I wanted was to get this field trip over with as quickly as possible so I could get home to Musy. Oh, Musy, if only I had a cell phone. That way I could call Mom a million times during the day to check on Musy's progress to make sure he was all right. Maybe, Caroline said when I voiced this desire out loud, it's better that you don't have a cell phone, Ellie. When we got to school, we only saw a few people from our class wearing prairie clothes. Elizabeth Pukowski had on a longish dress that you could tell had once been a flower girl dress that she'd grown out of. She kept pulling at it. And Joey Fields had rolled his jeans up to his knees to make them look like knickers, of course, and had on a furry hat that he said was made of 100% real faux coonskin that his uncle had loaned him. Elizabeth and Shamira came rushing up to us, laughing. They'd each done their hair in Laura Ingalls braids like mine, and full of admiration for our look. "Are those nightgowns?" they cried. "That's genius! I wish we'd thought of that." So it was kind of hard not to feel proud, even though the nightgown idea had been Missy's. But of course we didn't tell anyone that. And then Rosemary came up to us, not wearing any costume at all, of course, and said, "Ellie, check it out." She pointed toward the parking lot. And there it was, all gleaming and yellow. The driver was leaning against it, drinking a cup of coffee in the sun. I'll have to admit, my heart skipped a beat. And it got kind of hard to remember that I had left my cat at home in, maybe, mortal danger, and that in a little while I was going to have to see Mary Kay Shiner and Brittany Houser and go to what was probably one of the most boring places on Earth. Because I was finally going to be riding on a bus. A real school bus with windows you could put down and stick your hand out of, even though that was terribly dangerous and probably against the law. And seats you didn't have to buckle yourself into and everything. When the bell rang, I felt really torn between excitement and dread. Because I knew we wouldn't be marching into school with the rest of the student body. We'd be marching out to our bus. Which was exciting. But that bus would be taking us to Honeypot Prairie with Mary Kay Shiner. Horrible. "All right, class," Mrs. Hunter said, because instead of standing quietly like we were supposed to while waiting in our lines, we were all buzzing with nervous anticipation. "I know how excited you all are to get to Honeypot Prairie." Not really. "And you all look very nice in your period costumes from the 1850s. As she said this, Mrs. Hunter gave a kind smile to me, Caroline, Sophie, and Erica. We all looked at one another and laughed, as did the rest of the class. "But I still need to take attendance," Mrs. Hunter said, "which I'm going to do out here before we leave." It was right then that we heard a car door slam. "Wait!" we heard a familiar voice cry. We all looked around to see a vision in yellow racing toward us from the car that had just dropped her off. It was Cheyenne. But Cheyenne, looking as none of us had ever seen her before.